Now, have you ever stopped to wonder why the world's in such a mess? Why there's so much kindness mayhem on the TV and the press? Why so many busy businessmen are snapping from the stress, and the rest of us are jogging from depression? Now, has it ever once occurred to you or ever crossed your mind that the problems of this nation are created by design? That no matter what they tell you, there's another bottom line, intertwined between the patterns of deception. Since our eyes were first opened and our ears began to hear, they've been herding us like cattle through our fantasies and fears. They move us through illusion and confusion of the mind, and by changing subtle meanings to the words between the lines. It's the news behind the news and the methods you can use. It's a blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols, the learned elders of Zion. They'll tell you it's a forgery, they'll tell you it's a fake. That some anti-Semite wrote it for the money that he made. It's been slanderized and demonized and labeled racist hate by the same mistake I claim to its creation. Now I'm not here to try to argue if it's false or if it's true, if the author was a commie or the likes of you know who. What I'm really trying to tell you and to get across to you is it's a blueprint to the downfall of our nation. There's a cause to the chaos that's occurring in the land. There's a road to communism. There's a global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, because it's been hidden from the masses to control their destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's the blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion.
Boys and girls, it's Freya's day in the bunker. Yeah, that goes out to all the she-wolves. That's not so romantic, but it's Carl Klang does a good job on that stuff. One thing we got to remember, though, there's never been a significant number of communists march in this world without the direct financial backing of capitalism. So remember that. If there would never have been a Russian Revolution without the capitalist bankers behind it. That's a matter of record, matter of fact. So who is the worst? You guess. Hey, it's the 20th of January. This month is moving right along. Yeah, right here in north central Indiana. P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana. If you don't go up and check our Twitter, I tweet every day or almost every day, you should go up there and check it out. Now, this is a link for the Twitter account. That's http://twitter.com/@TerribleTommy. You should go up there and send me a twit once in a while. I get lonely. Of course, I get a lot of hits up there. A lot of people contact me and they're on my buddy list. So you might find that interesting. And don't forget our 559-670-1473 number. I try to change that message as much as possible, but of course I've been away from the bunker for a week or so. So we got quite a few calls come in there. The quality of my reproduction is not that great, so I'm not going to try to put it on the show here, but I will comment on the comments. Pat from Detroit is wondering about alien involvement in the racial issue. Now, before you laugh, I mean, we've heard before about these Aryans in space, you know. Well, first place, I've never encountered one, and until I encounter one or see some better evidence that I've seen so far, I'm going to reserve comment. I know people who are heavily into that flying saucer stuff, and they insist on the grays, and there's grays, and then there's the Nordic types. Well, I've never seen any positive evidence that this is so, and until I do, I'm not going to be talking much about it. I have listened to a lot of those shows. I'm not closed-minded to it, and they may very well be true. But you'd think in all this time there'd be more out front evidence of these people or these things or these aliens and whether they mean to do us harm or do us good. Obviously, if they're a superior alien race, if they aim to do us bad, they could do it very easily because they probably have methods that are beyond ours. I used to work with a man when I was in high school in a radio TV shop. And he was a sharp guy, and he was a real devotee of the alien situation. He carried all kinds of binoculars and telescopes and cameras in the trunk of his car. And he was always on the lookout. And he used to claim to me, he said, "They're not coming, Tom. They're already here. They're within our society." Well, that's possible, and that would be very interesting. But if they're coming here to do good, they sure as hell haven't done much good that I've seen. And if they're coming here to do bad, they're sure doing a hell of a lot of bad shit with all this wars and stuff. So, anyhow, that's up to anybody's opinion and research. But until I see quantitative evidence that I can look at or hold in my hand or talk to, I'm going to reserve my opinion on this aliens and space stuff. There may not be anybody out there. I would assume that on all these little balls floating around in the sky that there's some life form out there. But to be perfectly honest, I don't think you'd want to meet up with it on a dark night in a dark alley in Chicago. Of course, maybe that's what's up there in Chicago. Maybe these are all aliens that are shooting each other in Chicago. Maybe they come here as a covered with the black skin from outer space. Now, I remember one identity preacher, I can't remember his name right now, but all you old guys would remember him. He used to give a sermon on that, In fact, I think I had a tape on it at one time, that there was this big war in heaven, and I don't remember exactly how it went, but somehow the niggers were bad guys again. And they were thrown down to this earth to cause us trouble. Well, I don't know where they throw down this earth to give us trouble, but they sure have given us trouble. Thank the ruling class for that, because behind all the slavery and all that has been for the best interests of the ruling class to make a lot more money and build empires based on slavery. It hasn't been the common man of any race that's been into the slavery thing. It has never been the peasants and the working class that were into slavery. It's always been the rich guys. You know, blacks don't seem to understand that. They lump us all together, the working class and the ruling class. They lump us together. And actually, the working class has had not much control over their destiny in the past few hundred years. And only the ruling class. I don't see much action in Washington, D.C. by the regressives. They're talking a big line on the internet, and a lot of their left-wing corporate press services, but I don't really see what I saw in 68 in Chicago. That was where the Progressive Labor Party threw acid in the face of the cops. Back then, it was pretty wild. I mean, when George Lincoln Rockwell came to San Francisco, went down on the waterfront, and there was pitched battle between the Marxist labor types and our types. And things got really heavy. People got hurt bad. This breed that's around now haven't shown me much. Well, of course, you get it once in a while. You get a radical Arab or something like that. But the general white regressive left, they don't have the balls that the old timers did. And even going back farther than that, in the 20s and 30s in Detroit and so forth, the massive riots and burning of buildings and killing people, you know. So far I'm disappointed in the left wingers or the regressives or whatever you want to call them. The Trumpites are playing the left like a fiddle. The more they show up and raise hell and try to burn down the town, it helps Trump. It gives him more power. And if I was behind the scenes with Trump, I'd say, you know, fund these guys. Send these regressives and these radical leftists. Send them money, man. Send them baseball bats. Send them whatever. Because the more they raise hell and riot, the more entrenches Donald. I don't see why people don't understand that, the logic of it. Do you people remember back two or three years ago when Lewis, Congressman Lewis, Mr. African American, was on a committee and it had something to do with military allocations, and that they were talking about putting all these military men on an island someplace, I think in the South Pacific. And he came up with the question that, do you think with that many military men on that island, it might tip over? Honest to God, that's the question he asked. This is the same congressman that's given Trump hell. You think that many troops on that island will cause it to tip over if they're all on one side? He actually asked that from a committee position, which proves he's an absolute black moron ape. Do you remember a while back, maybe a year, when Obama took all those troops out of Afghanistan? I guess the pot farmers or the cocaine heroin farmers wanted those guys back because they needed guys to cultivate their poppy fields. Well, now, the day before Obama goes back to Chi-Town, he says he's going to send 9,000, going to keep 9,000 American troops in Afghanistan for at least the next year. Just to prove how nuts these guys are. Now, we shouldn't be in Afghanistan in the first place. It all had to do with this trying to show Russia we had balls. I remember that period of time when the right wing was really railing against Russia because they got into Afghanistan. Well, I got to thinking partway through that thing that they're killing a lot of white Russians over there, and that's not a good thing for us to support. And it's all about the military-industrial complex and how both the Russian and the American and British and French, and they all fart around and they're like little kids. So he's going to keep 9,000 troops there at least for a year. Well, he's going to be out of there. I don't know. Trump may double it because Trump seems to be more of a war hawk than Obama. And that's one thing I'm really against. So bring them home, the 9,000 troops, or bring the white ones home, to hell with the rest. Watching a little of that Washington stuff going on at inauguration, and guess who I saw right down front? Rat-faced Marvin Heyer, Rabbi Marvin Heyer, the dean of the Simon Wiesenthal Center in L.A., which we used to sneak into and paper the place. He's the ugliest little Jew I've ever seen, and he's one of the most dangerous little Jews I've ever seen as far as being anti-us. And Trump has chosen this little fucker to give the prayer for his presidency. That right there turns me against Trump. Because Marvin Heyer is one of the worst bastards in the country as far as being anti-Aryan. Hey, just a little trivia for you people. You know, about 5,000 prostitutes in this country per year are murdered. 5,000. And a good share of them are white, too. That's a real problem. I think prostitution has to be policed much better. A lot of people want it absolutely open and free, but the statistics show that they're far more in danger that way than if they were policed. I know in Europe, when I was there, they police the prostitutes very closely and check their health all the time. They have to carry a card around and all that kind of stuff. Just a little trivia there for you. That's not acceptable, even for prostitutes. 5,000 disappearing a year. Well, Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner have been given a free rabbinical pass to travel by car following Donald Trump's inauguration Friday. Because, you know, from Friday sunset, I believe it is, till Sunday or something, Jews are not supposed to be walking around or driving around. Of course, that's just the Orthodox types, I think. Anyhow, according to Jewish law, driving or riding in cars is prohibited on the Sabbath. Talk about Neanderthals. But a principle in Jewish law called Pikuah Nefesh mandates that the rule can be broken only in life-threatening situations. Well, I hope it's not a life-threatening situation that they're going to be walking around there, unless they know something we don't. In an interview with Call Barama Radio, Mark Zell, chair of the Republican Party in Israel, what the fuck is that? Said the couple has been granted special permission by a rabbi to use the vehicle because of safety concerns. This isn't the first time that Kushner has broken Sabbath since his father-in-law's presidential run. After Donald Trump's lewd audio clip was leaked, the New York Times reported that Kushner, who does not typically work on the Sabbath, met with the president-elect on a Saturday to help deal with the fallout. I'm telling you, you're really getting a bunch of Jews here, boy. What are your right-wingers and Duke and all these guys going to do? Jeez, I thought you was upset with the Jews, man. You're getting a whole bucket full of them. Ivanka Trump described her family as pretty observant in a 2015 interview with Vogue magazine. We observe the Jew Sabbath, she said, from Friday till Saturday. We don't do anything but hang out with one another. It's an amazing thing when you're so connected, it's to really sign off. Getting a rabbi pass actually isn't all the uncommon for observant Jews in politics. Former White House Chief of Staff Jack Lew, who was known for strictly observing the Sabbath, refused to work or to pick up any phone calls from Friday to Saturday sundown, and he still got paid by the taxpayers. That is until Bill Clinton couldn't reach him, and then President reportedly said into the speakerphone, "I know it is a Sabbath, but this is urgent. God would understand." Lew consulted his rabbi, and it was decided that if phone calls were emergency, he would not be breaking the Sabbath by picking up the phone. That's how crazy, how far up craziness goes. Then there are politicians who make compromises. In 2009, former Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman trekked 5 miles in a snowy Saturday afternoon to vote on health care amendments for the Senate. He had to walk. He couldn't ride in a car. Quote, "I have the responsibility to my constituents, really to my conscience, to be here on something as important as health care reform," he told The Hill. Should observant Jews break the Sabbath if it's not to directly save a life? For Rabbi Mintz of Kehillat Ramin Synagogue in New York City, it's hard to say. If it would be dangerous for Jared and Ivanka to walk, then that's reasonable, Mintz said. Well, I think Trump supports the right to keep or bear arms, just give both of them an automatic weapon. But do they really need to go to the ball? I don't have enough information. Mintz did say, however, that any discussion around the couple's decision is ultimately a real coup for orthodoxy. It's amazing that people around the world are talking about whether Ivanka and Jared are violating the Sabbath, he said. I think it's good that orthodoxy is being promoted like this, and we can control things. This shows our power. And he added, we should be glad that Trump and Kushner care. It's good that they felt the need to ask a rabbi the question, to affirm the fact that we are in power. I hope they continue to ask these questions for the next 4 years, even when they go to the bathroom. Of course, you may or may not know that Orthodox men, by Jewish law, have to sit down to pee. I thought you would like to know that. They cannot stand up and pee. Remember when Prince Harry dressed as a Nazi at a costume party? Well, until today, the average American could do the same for the low price of $13.87 plus free shipping. As of this morning, Walmart's online store offered SS collar tabs, complete with the signature double lightning bolts. The website described the tags as for costume purposes only, not for running a concentration camp. The vendor, Morris Costumes, obviously a Jew, makes a range of party gear from sexy cave girl to tiny ladybug, but the ones he likes the most are the Nazi ones. and he sells more of those than any of the others. Such items reflect a larger pattern of online retailers selling controversial products through third parties. I thought this was a democracy. You could sell whatever you want. Just a month ago, consumers caught Walmart selling Got Hitler mugs. The world's largest retailer pulled those as well, only after the Jews called him and gave him a bunch of shit. Probably this Marvin Heyer that's sitting up there beside Trump today at Washington, D.C. inauguration. He's noted for bitching about everything. Well, in case you hadn't heard, here's a little glitch by Bernie Sanders telling you what for. Come on, Bernie.
Today is going to be a tough day for millions of Americans, including myself. But our response has got to be not to throw up our hands in despair, not to give up, but in fact to fight back as effectively and as vigorously as we can. And our job is to keep our eyes on the prize. And the prize is that we will continue fighting for a government that represents all of us, and not just the 1%. And we're going to go forward in the fight for economic, social, environmental, and racial justice. That's who we are. That's what we're going to do. We are not giving up.
Well, good luck on that, Bernie. It wasn't the right-wingers that screwed you. It was Madam Clinton who screwed you to the wall. So I think if you're going to get any place, you first got to take care of that part of the party, the rotten part of the party, and try to clean it up a little bit. And then maybe you'll have a chance next time. Oh, wait a minute. You're 70-some years old like me. Maybe we won't be around for the next time. Breaking news, boys and girls. Surprise, surprise. President-elect Donald Trump announced a flurry of pre-inauguration appointments on Thursday night, giving White House spots to two more Jewish confidants, Avi Berkowitz and Boris Epstein. According to the transition team, Berkowitz will serve as a special assistant to the president. Yeah, reporting directly to Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner. He recently graduated Harvard Law School before signing with the campaign. Epstein will be a special assistant, filling the role of assistant communications director. He attended Georgetown University and became a friend there of President-elect's third son, Eric Trump. Well, I think you're going to find there's going to be more Jews in this Donald Trump administration, twice as many probably as were with Obama. So I wonder if the right wing is going to say much about that, or whether they're going to continue, oh, wonderful Ronald Trump, he's our savior, he's our God. Wonder what Duke has to say about that, and the old right wing. I haven't heard him say anything about this kind of stuff. You'd think that they'd be all upset. There's so many Jews around the new president. But I haven't heard much said about that on the right. If you want to know how deep and how pervasive this Jew stuff goes, the police force of Whitefish, Montana, the site of the neo-Nazi march that wasn't, has just nailed a mezuzah on the door of their station in a sign of solidarity with the beleaguered Jewish community. The Jewish community is only a handful of people in Whitefish. And what's beleaguered about them? They probably own half the town. Now, of course, this is a violation of separation of church and state, but I'm not going to hold my breath to see how soon the proper freedom of speech people get into this, because for cops to be putting the Jewish symbols on their doors, I think that's going a little bit overboard. Oh, man. During a group tour of Whitefish by Orthodox rabbis from the U.S. and Canada, Rabbi Adam Shire, a congregational leader from Montreal, asked the police chief, William Dial, if he would consider putting a mezuzah on his office door. According to public Facebook poster by Sheer Dial, said, "No, I won't put it on my office door. I want to put it in a more central location where everybody's going to see it." And then you wonder why you couldn't get a fair shake in Whitefish, man. And that other young upstart new guy that's supposed to be so bad. Time for the funny part of the show. Here we go.
Welcome back to the show. According to CNN's trusty countdown clock, the world will be ending on Friday. So if you're looking for a roadmap to the road, it might help to talk to someone who's walked it before. Russian author and dissident Masha Gessen knows autocracy firsthand. I originally spoke with her before I visited Moscow, which was before our election. And she had some reassuring words about a potential Trump presidency.
I feel like we're staring into an abyss.
Now that we're actually plummeting into that abyss, I sought out Masha again for more of her comforting insights. This time, I took her to the only place I feel truly safe. Hey, Julie V. My subterranean panic room. Come on in. Have a seat.
Thank you.
Do you care for a soup? I've been coming in here and stress eating quite a bit. Not much left. So I guess my first question is, what is the recipe for successfully resisting an autocracy?
I get asked that a lot.
Mm-hmm. So?
You know, I had to flee my country.
Okay.
Most efforts to successfully resist that I know of failed.
Well, thanks for joining us for another edition of Bunker Talk with Samantha Bee. Today's guest was, I should ask her another question. What are your biggest worries about the incoming Trump administration?
Oh, my biggest worry is a nuclear holocaust.
Thanks again for joining us for Bunker Talk with Samantha Bee.
If miraculously we avoid that,
Okay. Then,
you know, he's certain to do irreparable damage to the environment. That will make the survival of the human species impossible.
I thought you were going to kind of, like, ease me into it. Just a tip at first.
But there's very little we can do. So I stick to little things like the impossibility of going on to democracy after Trump.
Where are we in the whole downfall of America thing? I mean, can you show me on this chart where rock bottom is? So let's say this little mark here represents, you know, in the primaries talking about creating a Muslim registry.
Okay.
A bit downhill from there. Mexicans are rapists, and then, of course, grab by the pussy. Let's get another page. I'm going to need more paper. What low points do you expect to see in our near future?
Well, he's going to lift the sanctions against Russia. He's going to start banning one newspaper after another from the White House. He is going to start thinking about wars. He is going to go to the Putin model of holding one press conference a year.
Hold on a second. Okay, are we at rock bottom yet?
No. So suppose some cities refuse to cooperate with deportations. So he calls on the American people to start reporting immigrants. And that's when we start getting into really disgusting territory. No, that's not rock bottom. But that will be the beginning, you know, of a culture of citizen against citizen.
Okay, so that's rock bottom, and then we bounce back.
So there's a Russian joke. We thought we had hit rock bottom, and then someone knocked from below.
I'm sure that joke's funnier in the original Russian, just as Trump's pronouncements would likely sound better screamed in German. And speaking of Trump speaking,
in this way, he's very similar to Putin. He uses language to assert his power over reality.
Mm-hmm.
What he's saying is, I claim the right to say whatever the hell I please. And what are you going to do about it?
It's hard for me to believe that he has the cunning to be perpetrating this intentionally.
It's instinctual. It's a bully in a playground.
Okay.
You know, it's like imagine the little kid who says to you, you know, give me my pencil box back. And he says, I don't have your pencil box, but it's right there in your right hand. There's nothing in my right hand. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what he's doing. The point is not so much to take your pencil box. It's to render you completely powerless. Because everything you know how to do, which is to say it's right there, is useless.
And you look foolish, no matter what. You don't come out cool.
And you don't get your box back either.
Meaning the box that Trump grabbed, the one containing a functioning democracy. and also meaning your vagina box. Is there anything that I personally can do to resist?
The thing I think to do, and this is my recipe, is to actually to continue panicking, to continue to be sort of the hysteric in the room and to keep saying this is not normal.
I can stay hysterical.
Good. Keep doing that. And just remember why you're panicking. Write a note to yourself about what you would never do.
Okay.
And when you come to the line, don't cross it. Okay. What if Ivanka wants to come on your show?
Ivanka? No. Why, do you think she'd do it? Is she asking about me? Masha and I had an extensive and encouraging conversation.
Really, it's the nuclear holocaust that I'm worried about.
Oh, there it is again. All right, I am never leaving this room. Thank God we have Sting here in the bunker to keep us company and serenade us. Hey, can you sing that song for her? She'll love it.
I hope the Russians love their children, too. You know, that's not really Sting, right?
Well, if that's not Sting, then who have I been having tantric sex with?
Well, that was an interview with Marcia Gessen, who, if we didn't have enough Jews in this country, we get one more. She fled Russia to come here to spread her bullshit. Oh, jeez. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. It's getting wild. But that's the depth of the paranoia these people are spreading. And it's going to work with a certain percentage of people in this country. And they're going to try to keep them in total fear for the next 8 years, or at least 4 years, until they can get somebody like Hillary back in there. But don't worry about it. The ruling class are well, they're there. They're watching it closely, and they'll take care of it. Don't you worry. Like I said, the more paranoia and wild shit that the left regressives put out there, the more it's going to entrench the control of the old right wing by Trump. It's the best thing that could happen to him. If everybody had gone to the inauguration and said, oh, he's a nice guy, well, that would hurt him. But all these people demonstrating that the world is coming to an end is going to help Trump because it'll keep his core supporters in line. I see Obama has shortened the sentences of 330 more inmates on his last day in office. I wonder what percentage were black, and were there any political prisoners turned loose, or are these all just druggies, people who are into drugs and selling drugs? And whatever happened to closing down Gitmo, which I would say would be a good idea too. You're going to have to figure something out pretty soon because Cuba's going to want back Gitmo. That's their land. And so one of these days they're going to ask for it back. Well, another billionaire gets involved. New York Jets owner Robert Woody Johnson, the great-grandson of the founder of Johnson & Johnson, will be headed across the pond to be the ambassador to the UK, like he knows something about being an ambassador. Just shows to prove you can't keep those billionaires down, man. You got it. And they're really bringing them forward because they know more than anybody. Boy, Trump's really sticking a finger in the eye of the Hollywood bunch. Trump may shutter the National Endowment of the Arts, a National Endowment for the Humanities Arts Groups. Well, they got all these billionaires that are Hollywood actors and actresses. They don't need your money or my money. How often do you take advantage of their? I don't even know how you can take advantage of it. I guess, do they have a museum or something for the National Endowment for the Humanities? Hey, forget OJ. American Crime Story plans to take on Clinton, Monica Lewinsky sex scandal for the next season. So I guess the updated idea about O.J. being innocent is out. Well, that bonehead Rick Perry stepped in it again. He was testifying there before Congress, I guess. And he made a sex joke during his confirmation with Al Franken. He jumped right on it. Listen to this.
Thank you so much for coming into my office. Did you enjoy meeting me?
I hope you were as much fun on that dais as you were on your couch.
Perry tried to pass it off as a joke. I don't think it might have been a joke. Maybe they were going at it, Al Franken and Perry on the couch. Wouldn't surprise me. Washington's full of those kind of people. You know, Google's got this program to where you can get news items from on any subject you're interested in. And I've got a whole bunch of them, and these articles come in every day. I've got one on black crime, but you know what? They don't send me any information on actual black crime. They send me pro-black stuff and anti-Trump stuff, and it's all through this thing. Articles and articles and articles. Not one story on actual black crime. I can't keep up with these Hollywood Nazis. Racist podcaster Mike Penovich has decided to return to his white nationalist program after quitting earlier this week, following reports that he had kept his neo-Nazi fans in the dark about his marriage to a Jewish woman. Jewish. In a podcast released to the public on Wednesday, Penovich, better known as Mike Enoch, creator of the right-wing Stuff or TRS blog, co-host The Daily Shoah, told listeners, said that having his real name and details of his private life, what the hell's going on here? Anyhow, he told listeners, said that having his real name and details of his private life revealed had made him feel he had basically lost everything. Well, if you're not prepared to have your real name and an idea of where you're at as far as East Coast, West Coast on the radio and in a blog, don't get involved. I don't like people in this struggle that don't use their real name unless they're in a top secret undercover situation. That's been something I've criticized for decades, is people who get into this struggle. On the program, Penovich didn't discuss his wife or the status of his relationship. In a separate broadcast podcast released on Tuesday, one of his partners, Jesse's seventh son, Dunstan, claimed that Penovich and his wife were separating. Now, on the podcast, Penovich claimed that the media outlets were trying to destroy him by exposing details about his marriage in retaliation for Donald Trump's victory. I think that's grasping at straws. They're saying it's over. The right-wing Stuff founder said, neglecting the fact that it was Dunstan who had earlier announced that Penovich was leaving the site. They want all this to die and go away. I got a problem with my smart securities going crazy here. Anyhow, as usual, the right wing, they like to fight with each other and call each other names and goes on and on and on. I never heard of these people. I hope you see how these opponents of the racial struggle get everything they want publicity wise up there in Whitefish, just a little teeny deal, and the Hollywood Nazis jump into it. And now it goes worldwide, and the Jews reap all kinds of success from going in there like they're saving two or three Jewish families from ultimate concentration camps. And the right wing falls into that trap every time. In fact, they fall in it so many times, I don't think it's an accident sometimes. Somebody in these right wing Hollywood Nazi groups is a fink, and they're guiding these guys the wrong way. says here, if you were a judge of the small northwestern Montana town of Whiteface solely on the national media frenzy that has descended upon it in recent weeks, like blizzards that blots out everything else, then you'd probably write it off as a frightening place, an intolerant place, an unwelcoming place, a place where the worst of the United States has taken hold. You see how they blow this shit up? But what if the opposite were true? What if it, at a moment of mounting political anxiety, creeping internet thuggery, of fear and loathing, and all the rest of it, Whitefish has in fact been demonstrating how America at its best can defeat such ugliness in the months and years ahead? In other words, white boys, keep your mouth shut, because whenever you show yourself, we're going to go apeshit. And we're going to get worldwide publicity, and you're going to get nothing. Because that's all you are, is a bunch of ambulance chasers. I've dealt with you for years. Actually, I haven't dealt with you for years. I stay away from this old right wing. Because of what I found when I actually bothered to spend some time there, in the first weeks of January, I made two extended trips to Whitefish. I got to know dozens of locals, activists, actors, skiers, shopkeepers, loggers, and L.A. transplants. What I found was a story that was a lot more interesting and inspiring than the one I had been reading about on the internet, because we all get along up here. We all love, we're going to import a whole bunch of niggers coming in here. We got 40, 45 Greyhound busloads of niggers we were importing from Chicago. Because that's the way, that's the wave of the future. That's good. We love the niggas. And Jews, man. If we could get a busload of Jews to move here, that would really be frosting on the cake. Thank you, Hollywood Nazis. You're doing us a favor. A big favor. Well, KKK, the Hollywood KKK, doesn't need to go to Washington, because protesters have already taken onto the streets of Washington, D.C. to protest the inauguration of Donald Trump. However, their choice of apparel could possibly be questioned. The protest was organized by a group called Refuse Fascism, according to the new site Excelsior. Its members carry placards embossed with the message that we will paralyze D.C., and we will stop the fascist regime of Trump and Pence. The partakers dressed up as members of the Ku Klux Klan. They notably endorsed Donald Trump during the election campaign, with President-elect's face on the front of their white pointed hats as an attempt to mock him. However, the irony was clearly lost on some of the people in Washington, D.C., who seemed to believe the KKK had actually come to America's capital. Scared the shit out of them. Donald Trump is due to take the oath and become president today. That's funny. They try to dress up to use it against Trump. And the KKK doesn't even, the real KKK doesn't even have to be there. Scared the piss out of people. Now these Chicago boys in power up there need some help, boys and girls. Dateline Hyde Park. Researchers at the University of Chicago's Crime Lab said Tuesday they've crunched all the numbers and have been unable to find a clear cause for the dramatic spike in homicides in the city last year. I told them over and over, it's the Black KKK. On Tuesday, the research group released its yearly report on gun violence in the city. Not nigger violence, gun violence. Citing possible causes, but failing to finger the exact reasons, the city saw the largest year-to-year increase in homicides of any of the nation's five largest cities in 25 years. Could you guys get in touch with those Chicago boys up there and say, all you have to do to stop this escalating murder rate in Chicago is take the guns away from the niggas. The African Americans, the Negroes. Yeah. You know that, and I know that. Any simpleton could know that. But they can't figure that out. They're spending thousands, maybe millions of dollars trying to figure out why Negroes kill Negroes and how you can stop it. Well, it's like taking a knife away from a baby. You just got to take it away from them. Wow. Yeah, that's about it for today. I'm going to get out of here, and I'll be back on Moon's Day, and I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen on the weekend? The left wing may rise up and start a revolution. Yeah, they might do that. Because on Moon's Day, I will be...
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorns had a feed on the lowly Jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44. Where you sleep out every night, and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee tie-i-o, rocking to and fro. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee tie-i-a, I go my way. Back in the saddle again. I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44. Where you sleep out every night, and the only law is...